Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're here. We're talking about the New Testament church, and this morning on the program, I want to talk about the establishment of the New Testament church, the time and place where the New Testament church began. That's very important because there's all these denominations today, and some of them began on American soil. Some of them began on European soil. Some of them began at times and places other than what we read about in the New Testament. So we don't want to just pick some denomination that was established at any time or in any place, but we want the church that Jesus said he would build. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, when Peter reveals that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus said to him, upon this rock, this confession that Jesus is the Christ, not Peter himself, but what he said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We talked about authority recently. Notice that the church here is also the kingdom, and that will become important for our discussion today. But I want to talk about the establishment of the New Testament church, in particular, the time and place. And we'll be talking about some other things, but the time and place are very important. We want to be a church belonging to Christ. We want to be that church, that people. We're not talking about a building, but people that go back to the New Testament church. And we can be that today. But it involves learning about the establishment of that group of people that Jesus said he would build. So let's look at that. And I will probably divide up my thoughts today between today and next week, Lord willing. I want to talk primarily today about the establishment of the church as it's related to three Old Testament prophecies. And then in a future study, hopefully, we can talk about the establishment of the church was on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and not during the earthly ministry of Jesus and John the Baptist, as so many people believe today. So a couple of different lines of thought dealing with the establishment of the New Testament church. Jesus said, I will build my church and I will give you, the apostles, the keys to the kingdom. When the church was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and I've already given away some of the point there with regard to the time and place in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. But when that happened, the church was known as the kingdom. And so from that point onward in the New Testament, the church is the kingdom. And that's important because some of the prophecies that we're looking at this morning, especially when we get to the book of Daniel, involve God establishing his kingdom. And when he did that, he established his church. Now, kingdom other places, especially prior to the day of Pentecost, kingdom is God's rule and reign in the hearts of men and women. And there was an Old Testament kingdom of Israel. And there's kingdom in different ways, God's rule and reign. But when we get to the establishment of the church is the kingdom. So let's look at the establishment of that. Let's look particularly at the place in which the church was established and the time frame in which that was established. I want to look at three Old Testament prophecies with you this morning. And the neat thing about this is they all involve the chapter 2. We're going to look at Joel 2, Isaiah 2, Daniel 2, and we're going to see how that is all fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Some Bible students have called this the hub of the Bible, and I like that, where Joel 2, Isaiah 2, and Daniel 2, like an old wagon wheel, the spokes of a wagon wheel, they point inward to a hub, a center, which is Acts chapter 2. So these three great prophecies point inward to the fulfillment of the church in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. So let's look at these. And I want to look at Joel 2, which is around 800 BC, Isaiah 2, which is around 700 BC, a little bit more, and then Daniel 2, which is around 600 BC. So 800, 700, 600, these prophecies pointing forward to the establishment of the church or the establishment of the kingdom. Now, if you want, you can turn to, we're going to start in Joel chapter 2 if you want to turn there, but if you also want to have your hand open to Acts chapter 2, we will be flipping back and forth. So we're going to start in Joel chapter 2, and if you'll come with me to Joel 2 and verse 28, Joel 2, 28, Joel writes, again, about 800 years before the time of Christ, "It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." So this is not going to happen in the days of Joel. It's going to be sometime afterward. "That I," this is the Lord speaking, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." So, latter days, it'll come to pass later, not in Joel's day. Number two, it's going to be something, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be something that is going to come out and from the Holy Spirit. It's going to be tied to the Holy Spirit. Number three, it's going to be that which involves prophecy and vision and dreams. These are things in which God is going to reveal His Word. And then number four, it's going to be on sons and daughters and old men and young men and servants and handmaids. It's going to be on men and women. It's going to be on a number of different individuals. Verse 30, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth." So a fifth characteristic is this idea of something amazing, something different. "Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Jehovah comes." So it's going to be something that is completely different. Okay? This is what is known as apocalyptic literature. It's found elsewhere in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's found in the book of Revelation, where we have dramatic things being described to talk about a new period of time, something new that's coming, something that is different that is coming. In this case, it is something very positive. In some cases, like Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation and some other places in the Old Testament, it has to do with God's judgment on peoples and nations. Here it's a very positive thing. Something grand and glorious is going to take place. Verse 32, and here's another characteristic of this day. "It shall come to pass that whosoever," anybody, not just a certain group, "but anybody who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape, and Jehovah has said, and among the remnant those whom Jehovah doth call." Notice that we now are given a place. So we're given some events that are going to take place, things that involve the Holy Spirit, things that involve revealing God's Word, things that involve something new and different, and a place is given, Jerusalem, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be delivered. And we're going to see delivered from what in just a minute. And they can escape, verse 32. We're going to see escape from what? Now, when was this fulfilled, this prophecy some 800 years before the time of Christ? Well, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, you find that on the day of Pentecost, the apostles and others, there are about 120 believers who had been following Jesus, and the apostles are there. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven, a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Again, there is this sound like a mighty wind. This is going to be different from your ordinary occurrences on that day. The Jews had been gathered together on the day of Pentecost, a Jewish feast, and they're there in Jerusalem. There appeared unto them, parting asunder like as of fire. What? Well, this sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them tongues, parting asunder like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. The them, the antecedent of them, is the 11 apostles at the very end of chapter 1. It's not on the 120, like our Pentecostal friends say, but on top of the apostles. It sat on each one of them, the 11, okay? And Matthias, who's taken the place of Judas, so the 12 there. They, the 12, were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so notice that it's Pentecost around AD 30. It is in Jerusalem, and it's something that is coming from the Holy Spirit. These men are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak with other tongues. And so now we have the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. Something coming from the Spirit, something involving revelations from God. Keep reading. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem. Here's the place that was mentioned in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, in Jerusalem. Now we have Jerusalem. It's already been mentioned about the work of the Holy Spirit. There were devout men from every nation under heaven. There were Jews and proselytes attending this Pentecost feast. And when the sound was heard, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them, the 12 that had been filled with the Holy Spirit, heard them speaking in his own language. This is very miraculous. And verse 7 says, they were all amazed and marveled, saying, behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? We're clearly talking about the 12 and not the 120. How hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? The speaking in tongues was not gibberish like it is today, those who claim to do that. It was a known language. And so these people from different places heard their own language. But these Galilean apostles, prior to being filled with the Holy Spirit, they couldn't speak all these different languages. But speaking in these tongues, which were languages, that was allowed and caused by being filled by the Holy Spirit. How hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians, verse 9, and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and in Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and sojourners from Rome, both Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabians. We hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God. So it's a revelation from God, and that's what was mentioned earlier in Joel chapter 2. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, what does this mean? This is a new event. This is completely different. There's this sound, and there is this speaking in other languages. And so it is a new and dramatic event. Others, verse 13, mocking, said, they're not positive of what's going on. They're filled with new wine. These men must be drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be known unto you, and give an ear unto my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, or 9 a.m. These, and notice, he stood up with the 11. The 120 are not filled with the Spirit. it's the 11. The 11 apostles and Matthias are mentioned right before this incident, and Peter and the 11 are mentioned right after this incident. This is the apostles and not the 120. And they're not drunk. Peter said, verse 15, they are not drunk as you suppose. It is but the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. They're not going to be drunk at that time of the day. That's just not natural. Verse 16, what is the reason, Peter? This what? What you're hearing these men preaching in your own language. This is that which has been spoken through the prophet Joel. And then the very prophecy that we just read in Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. And it shall be in the last days, saith God, I will pour forth of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaids in those days will I pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And it shall come to be, or it shall be, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he preaches, you men of Israel, hear these words. He preaches of the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of God. And when they hear this sermon, verse 37, they're pricked in their heart, and Peter, and they ask, what must we do, or what shall we do? Verse 38, Peter said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, under the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God shall call unto him. So the Lord is calling through this gospel message, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord, verse 21, shall be saved. How does that take place? When you repent and when you're baptized for the remission of your sins. With many other words, he, Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And so the church begins on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. So again, notice that Peter ties down the prophecy of Joel to this event in Acts chapter 2, when Peter said, this is that which is spoken through the prophet Joel. So, when did the church begin? Well, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the fulfillment of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the miraculous speaking in tongues, and men and women, whosoever, calling on the name of the Lord, in Joel, to be delivered. In Acts chapter 2, Peter says, to be saved. So we learn that it's deliverance from sin. And Joel said that they shall escape. We're talking escaping from sin. And they can be saved if they will repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So, about 800 years before the time of Christ, Joel prophesies and helps us to understand where in Jerusalem and what would be some events that would show the beginning of the kingdom or the church. This Holy Spirit miraculous event that is taking place in the mouths of the apostles. Okay, let's add to that the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 2. Now we come down to around 700 years before the time of Christ, maybe a little bit longer than that, around 740 or so. We come to Isaiah chapter 2, and he's going to help us determine the establishment of the church, the date, The time and the place. That's very important. Okay? So again, if you want to hold your hand now in Isaiah chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 2, we will be making some parallels and comparisons there. So Isaiah chapter 2 now, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days. Joel already mentioned this in Joel 2:28 and following, in the last days, in the latter days. This is not going to be something that takes place in the day of Joel. It's not going to be something that takes place in the day of Isaiah. Well, when will it take place? Do we just pick something out of the hat? Do we just pick any old church that started at any old time? No. Peter said, this is that which is spoken by Joel. Peter, an apostle, tells us when these things, when these latter days or last days are taking place. They're fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many peoples shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations and will decide concerning many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Micah chapter 4 also has this same prophecy, and almost word for word in Micah chapter 4. But in Isaiah chapter 2, again, notice the place. This house of the Lord is going to be established from Zion and from Jerusalem. The place is nailed down as to the establishment of the kingdom and the house and the church of God. The house, the church, the kingdom are all the same. And notice that it's in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, they are in Jerusalem. Verse 5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews and so forth who had come together for this Pentecost feast. So the place is nailed down as to when the church and kingdom is going to, the place to where it will be established and where it will begin. Both Joel 2 and Isaiah 2 mention Jerusalem. That's very important. There are churches, denominational churches today, that got started on American soil. The Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witness Church and the Seventh-day Adventist Church all started, Pentecostal churches, all started on American soil. There's churches where the place would be European soil during the Reformation period, the Church of England into England and the Lutheran Church in Germany and the Presbyterian Church in Switzerland and the Baptist Church in Holland. And we've got all of these different places. It's not Jerusalem, friends. It's not Jerusalem. You could go back to around 600 AD and you could be a Muslim if you wanted to and follow Muhammad in the book of Quran. But that would be a religion started over in the Middle East, in modern-day Saudi Arabia, in Medina and Mecca, where this so-called prophet Muhammad was starting his new religion. It was not in Jerusalem, okay? And you could go back and you could be an Orthodox Jew if you wanted to, and you could go even back before the New Testament, all the way back to Mount Sinai if you wanted to, where the law of Moses was given. And you could be a modern-day Orthodox Jew, but Mount Sinai is not Jerusalem. So, there are a lot of different religions that you can be a part of, but it's not the church that began in Jerusalem. But while we're here in Isaiah chapter 2, let's notice some other things about the Lord's church and the Lord's house and the Lord's kingdom. in addition to the place. It shall come to pass in the latter days. Peter nailed that down as to the time frame. Pentecost, the place is Jerusalem, the time is Pentecost, around AD 30, okay? That the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Mountain here is God's rule and reign, and it's going to be on top of anything else. God's rule and reign in the church and in the kingdom, his law is above all other earthly types of kingdoms. All nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up into the mountain of Jehovah. Many, it's for everybody. When Jesus sent his apostles into all the world on the Great Commission, Mark 16, Matthew 28, Luke 24, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go to all creation. Go make disciples of all nations, all men and women. Anywhere around the world can come and be a part of the Lord's church. And starting on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached in Jerusalem, it eventually went to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Acts chapter 1, 8 gives the outline, really, of the book of Acts. The gospel starting in Jerusalem and moving out all the way to Rome at the end of the book of Acts. So, anybody and everybody can come. Do you remember what Joel said? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Many peoples and all nations shall come to it. And friend, you can be a part of that today. Isaiah 2:3, the house of God, come to the house of the God of Jacob. It's the Lord's house in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 3:15, other passages, the church is the house of God. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Why, Isaiah? For out of Zion, Jerusalem, shall go forth the law and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. There's going to be the preaching and teaching of the word of God, and people are going to be taught, and they're going to walk in those things that they've been taught. Peter and the 11 stood up and preached. They preached the word of God, the law of God, the law and the word of Jehovah. Started in Pentecost there in Jerusalem, and people were taught, and they asked, what shall we do? And so, it's the word of God that is drawing people. I'm mindful of John 6, 44 and 45, that people will be taught, people will be drawn to God when they learn and when they are taught. And that is the beginning of the New Testament church. And it, just on a side note, that needs to be the emphasis in the church even to this day. There's so many religions where it's all about politics and food and fun and games and retreats and this and that. And it's very little on the teaching of the Word of God. But this teaching is going to go out of Jerusalem. Well, friends, our time is up. We're looking at the establishment of the church. I'm glad that you're with us today. And please tune in next week where we will continue this discussion. I hope that you'll have a good day.